Is it okay if I stay down here? Yeah. I'll wander around up there and step off of that. I'll break a hip. So you wouldn't want that. So I really am appreciative of the Lord's Supper meditation. Also, Jeremy's lesson this morning. You might think that Jeremy and I have been reading the same book. So same spirit. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. We are on a mission from God. I was going to wear my black sunglasses. Play the Joe Belushi part. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4. Beginning with verse 35. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let's cross over to the other side." Now, when they left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the pillow. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, you do not care, we're perishing." And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Let's pray. God, I'm thankful for this lesson, Father, that has been an object lesson through the ages. I pray as we think on these things, Father, as we consider priorities, Father, as we look at making the main thing, you would guide and direct us today. I'm thankful, Father, for this congregation. I'm thankful to have the opportunity to share with them. I just pray that you would help me to exalt Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Jesus calmed the wind and the waves. He calmed the storm. How did he do it? He understood the authority that was his as the Son of God. The same authority that we have as sons of God. I'm not talking about doing a rain dance. But how many times do we have storms in our lives? How many times do the pressures of life start to crowd in and we need to say, "Peace, be still"? Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 says, "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Peace, be still." How many of us want peace? Verse 21 says of Matthew chapter 7, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father. Well, what is God's will for your life? Listen, we are on a mission from God. Verse 24, Matthew chapter 7. Therefore, whoever hears these words of mine and does them, I will liken him to a man who built his house on the rock. Rain descended, floods came, winds blew, beat on that house, and it did not fall because it was built, founded on a rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them, like a foolish man who built his house in the sand, rain descended, floods came, winds blew, beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Jesus was very clear in John 16:33. He said, everything I've told you is true, and I've told you this that you may have peace. But in the world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have trouble. Sometimes we act surprised that there's a storm. See? Sometimes we act surprised. God, how could you let this happen? Be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. What storm today do you need to rebuke? What situation is just screaming to you that needs to be rebuked and you need to say, peace, be still? You're going to have trouble. And brethren, I'm not here to minimize the trouble. It's trouble. But Jesus had a clear, precise, laser-like vision. A stated purpose. A man with a mission. We've been studying the mind of Christ last year, the body of Christ this year, and hopefully the purpose of Christ next year. But as far as the body of Christ, shouldn't we share that same intensity of having a mission, having a vision, having a stated purpose? See, without a mission, without a stated purpose, we have been called out, the ecclesia, the fellowship, the local body, has no idea what we're called out to do. What is our individual part as a local congregation? What is our individual part as we fit into that matrix, into the big universal body of Christ? What are the core values that are the core values of Christ Church in Lima? Is there a plan to reach short-term goals? You know, sometimes, kind of like Jeremy said, our family priorities aren't necessarily written down, they're acted out. But one thing I have found is if you don't have a target, you're not going to become a very good marksman. But you never have to acknowledge what a bad marksman you are, because you can say, well, that's what I wanted to do. That's what I wanted to hit. As long as your goals are vague enough, you are guaranteed to hit them. Without a vision, a congregation will waste their lives away. Because routine is seductive. But many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name? Did many wonders in your name? And I'll declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Lawlessness does not necessarily constitute evil. So you can violate the law of faith and not be evil. Sometimes even the best intentions. But kind of like me, Jeremy's got a deadline to finish that lesson. He's going to read his Bible, see? But what's really my priority, see, is my time with the Lord. But I want people to prepare for the lesson. But you know what? Your preparation for the lesson is going to mean anything if you haven't spent time with Jesus. With a clear vision, the body of Christ is a force to be reckoned with. Remember, Jesus said, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Well, that rock is that Jesus is the boss, applesauce. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and he gets to set the priorities. We pointed out last weekend that the gates of hell are a defense. It's a defensive weapon. People do not carry gates into battle. Nobody says, oh, let's go to battle. Okay, let's take the city gates with us. No. The gates are to keep the enemy out. How much trouble do you think Satan's having keeping the church out? Or are we kind of huddled up under the cross thinking, well, we can't do anything? And God, you know, boy, the devil's getting after me. Well, you got that wrong. You need to get after the devil. See, this needs to be an offensive thing with us, because we have a mission from God. And we get that turned around, see. I like the scene in the Blues Brothers where Elwood says, you know, cops are chasing him. He says, well, you can't catch us. We're on a mission from God. See, but instead sometimes we think of everything else that can go wrong, so we don't exercise faith. The body is one and lots of members. And the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. See? You gotta have friends. You gotta have friends. You know, that guy with the blue shirt on back there, he hadn't spoke to me today. He's not very friendly. And I don't know if I'm coming back here anymore, because, I mean, the guy didn't even reach out to me at all. You got to be friendly to have friends now. You ain't come here to have people kiss your ring or any other part. What are you thinking? You came here to bring a contribution. You got to have friends. We can't wait for somebody to come to us. God said it is not good for man to be alone. Now, a part of that problem, Eve was the solution to, but not the whole thing. Guys, the days of John Wayne and making it on our own, they didn't work. They left spiritual weaklings in their wake. We need friends. We need each other. David needed Jonathan. Naomi needed Ruth. John was the one that Jesus loved. Peter, James, and John seemed like the guys Jesus really wanted to hang out with. We're going to make it a priority to nurture relationships. See you Sunday, see you Wednesday is not going to nurture relationships. And having a planned hot dog roast is not. We need to be in ministry. We need to kind of, you know, answer the question, am I my brother's keeper? The answer is yes. See? Minister to needs. Mary Jo and I first became Christians. Art and Datha Greitman were the first friends we made. Art and Datha became our spiritual parents. I wouldn't be who I am without them. But just like my parents passed on their DNA, Art and Datha passed along their wisdom. Now, Datha is still my friend. See, Art has gone to his reward. And strangely, Datha still needs me. Now, I've got a lot of close friends in the body of Christ. But I'm convinced that some friendships need to be intergenerational. You know, not the first time I've said that. And I was kind of tickled and surprised when my intergenerational peeps wanted to come with me today. I mean, who wants to ride the limo with an old man? Who knows what he might put on? I don't have a tape deck. Thank you very much. But every Timothy needs a Paul, a spiritual father. Every Paul needs a Timothy, a spiritual son. We all need a Barnabas, a spiritual brother. He arose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Peace, be still. The only thing that is more deadly than, spiritually deadly than boredom, King David, bored, see what they got him, is to be too busy with the things of the world, and that is so seductive because I got to pay the house payment, I got to pay the car payment, there's only so many hours in a day. And what suffers? Devotional time. How do I do that? How do I prioritize? Well, peace, be still. You got to face your fears. And you got to see them for what they are, distractions. You got to play the hand that you've been dealt, even if you don't like the cards. Because whining about the cards are not going to change the cards. I don't care how much you wish that these weren't the cards you, they're the cards you dealt, so you play them. Well, how are you doing? Well, okay, under the circumstances. Well, what are you doing under there? Shouldn't we be rising above those circumstances? Get up. Realize the authority that you have. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave and be strong. But we act like the gates of hell are coming after us instead of we're going after them. Every first Thursday of the month, we pray for church growth. Sometimes people fast, but regardless, we meet at 6 o'clock then and have a little prayer time and supper together. I encourage the folks this week to do something a little bit different. Challenge them and challenge myself to pray for personal growth. Focus on personal growth. If you grow yourself, everybody around you is going to grow because of it. If you grow yourself, your relationship with people cannot remain static because you've changed the dynamic. Grow yourself and your platform will grow. Grow yourself and you'll grow your network. Now when the people were ready to stone David in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6, David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. If you forget who God is, you forget who you are, and the fallout of self-doubt. The way to strengthen yourself in the Lord is not to flail yourself and beat yourself up. And certainly I'm not here to beat anybody up. But the way to strengthen ourselves in the Lord is to remind ourselves of who God is and what He has done. He is the promise keeper. So we have every authority to step out in those storms, in that tribulation, and announce, peace be still. I like the scene in the Blues Brothers where they're in a church building, you know, and they, you know, they make the announcement, we're on a mission from God, and Elwood does flips down the aisle. I thought, man, what a great way to come to the Lord's Supper, you know? Shouldn't we really be that excited about, I mean, you know, but what a blessing. I mean, think about that. A physical bridge. God realizes that we're in physical bodies, that we're dealing with physical stuff. And He gives us the touch, the taste, the tactical feel of His body and His blood. That not only the price was paid, but that's what empowers us through the week. That's why we do it on the first day of the week. Not to have my sins forgiven. It is having a mission from God that keeps us on the straight and narrow. Because if we're busy about our Father's business, it's pretty hard to get sidetracked. And a mission from God not only motivates us to do the right thing, but that's what's going to keep us from doing the wrong thing. If we're not on a mission from God, we're not really living. We're dying. How many people do you know just biding time, you know, till I just hope Jesus comes back? Well, you know what's going to hurry that up? Get busy. Seek first the things of the kingdom. Well, I thought you said I wasn't supposed to be so busy. No, we are busy with the priorities, see? And the local body that loses sight of her mission, I believe this to be true, but I've seen it, I've experienced it, I've repented of it. But the local body that loses the mission on a mission from God and the mission of seeking first the kingdom, every time at some point will involuntarily create problems to keep themselves busy. Because if they're not busy doing the right thing, they'll make sure they're busy doing the wrong thing. And before you know it, instead of being the church, you're playing church. Instead of advancing the kingdom, start to advance a program or an agenda. Instead of exercising our authority, we begin to advocate for an agenda. And instead of the body advancing, it's taken off course by sideways energy. Peace, be still. On the other side of that, boredom is the root of so much evil. People get bored, they do dumb stuff. Yeah, they do. I mean, David got bored, see, on the rooftop, lollygagging around. Stay busy putting the kingdom first. There's going to be storms. Those storms are threatening to capsize our boats. You will have tribulation. And I want to challenge you as the sons and daughters of the Lord God of heaven, the Lord God Almighty, to refuse to cower in the face of challenging circumstances. Face your fears. Play the hand you've been dealt, even though you don't like the cards. Keep your promises. Proclaim His promises. Marshall told me to be cognizant of the time, so I am. Yeah, cognizant, big word. One last point. You can't not sin by not sinning. You can't not sin by not sinning. You need a vision that is bigger and better than sin. You can't stay away from sin just because you're going to stay away from it, or because it's the law, or because, no, you got to have a vision, see, that is bigger than the sin. A mission that demands every second of our time, every ounce of our talent, every penny of our treasure. Storms will come. Let's not waste our time, our talent, our treasure, our lives on lesser things. On the way here, I asked Kirsten what she was doing. Not over there making noises in the seat, but what she was doing for a job. And she said she was helping at University of Toledo do student orientations. You know what she said? She said, if I help them do student orientations, there's a likelihood I can start to develop a relationship with people. And down the line, you know what those relationships do? Turn into Bible studies. Now, she takes her job and sees a bigger purpose. I don't care what you're engaged in to bring home the bacon, you can use that for a higher purpose. And that's really what I want to encourage you to do, is make that your higher purpose and not get caught up in the details. And this really is the last one. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Peace. Be still.